Welcome to the second episode of the Redefine podcast. My name is Norina Auberger and I'm part of the Redefine organization team. In our first episode, we explored why hydrogen is considered a key player in the global energy transition with Dr. Sebastian Fendt and my colleague Rebecca Singer. They talked about its potential to replace fossil fuels, its ability to store renewable energy, and the role it plays in achieving climate goals. So today we're diving deeper into the basics of hydrogen. We'll discuss what hydrogen actually is, how it's produced, and why we classify it into different colors. This is crucial because not all hydrogen is created equal. Some forms are completely renewable, while others still rely on fossil fuels. But there are still many challenges to overcome. That's why we're here, to break it down in a clear and engaging way. And to help us do that, we have a special guest today. I'm happy to welcome our guest today, Dr. Lydia Makito. She is a leading expert for the acceptance of technologies and is currently one of our guest professors at the Technical University of Munich. Lydia, it's so great to have you here today.
I'm really excited to be here and to talk about such an important topic. I'm a guest researcher from Curtin University in Western Australia. I did my PhD at Curtin University, where I researched technology acceptance with a focus on mobile technologies in higher education. I started off majoring in computer science, then for postgraduate studies, I've been in information technology with a focus on technology adoption. I became involved in hydrogen research when I saw an expression of interest via email at Curtin University, which was discussing a role of a core scientist who would be working on assessing the current landscape, potential societal and environmental issues and opportunities of hydrogen technologies. Based on my research in technology adoption and acceptance of mobile technologies, I knew the same skills I'd used could be applied in this hydrogen research.
Then let's start with the basic. Why is hydrogen so important for energy?
So the expression of interest, I thought it was a great opportunity for me to travel to Germany and be immersed in these new technologies, because hydrogen has the potential to be a key player in the transition to clean energy by decarbonizing heavy industries like steel, cement, and chemical industries. Hydrogen also has the potential to increase energy independence and security. And more importantly, depending on the hydrogen production method, it may be the key to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. I've been in Germany for the past 18 months, and my role in Redefine has been in Work Package 4, where we are focusing on the social acceptance of the green hydrogen technologies, also looking at things like policy frameworks, the barriers and the opportunities offered by these green hydrogen technologies.
Okay, you're talking about opportunities. What exactly are the opportunities? Why is hydrogen so important for the energy sector?
Hydrogen is very important for energy because hydrogen is the most abundant element in the universe. But on Earth, it doesn't exist freely in its pure form. So what it means is that it is bound to other elements like water, as in H2O, or hydrocarbons such as methane, which is CH4. So to use hydrogen as an energy carrier, we first need to extract it from these compounds, and the method we choose for that extraction determines how environmentally friendly the hydrogen is. Once produced, hydrogen can be used in multiple ways as a fuel for transportation, as feedstock in industrial processes, or as a means to store and transport renewable energy. It is particularly valuable because it can be converted back into electricity through fuel cells or burned in industrial applications without emitting carbon dioxide. However, the sustainability of hydrogen depends on the production method. Some methods are clean and use renewable energy, while others still rely on fossil fuels and generate emissions. That's why we categorize hydrogen into different colors to indicate how it is produced.
What about the colors of hydrogen? What colors are there and why are there different colors? Can you tell us something more about that?
There is a variety of colors for hydrogen that include pink, purple, brown, green, turquoise, gray, blue. But here we're just going to give a breakdown of a few of those colors. So this list is not exhaustive. So one will appreciate that I'm not really a technical scientist, so I will speak more on the social aspects of these things. So unfortunately, with gray hydrogen, which is the one which is mostly used, it is produced from natural gas through a process called steam methane reforming. Unfortunately, this releases significant amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, making it a major contributor to climate change. Another form we have is the turquoise hydrogen. This is produced through methane pyrolysis, where natural gas is split into hydrogen and solid carbon. If the process is powered by renewable energy and the carbon is permanently stored or used in materials, it can be carbon neutral. However, this technology is still being developed. The third form we're going to talk about is blue hydrogen. Blue hydrogen is similar to gray hydrogen, so basically it comes from fossil fuels as well. But the key difference is that most of the carbon dioxide emissions are captured and stored underground through a process known as carbon capture and storage, or CCS. While this reduces emissions, it doesn't completely eliminate them. Some people have said that blue hydrogen can be used as a stepping stone to green hydrogen, while others argue that if we take that route, it means that we'll never get to the destination of green hydrogen. Last but not least, we're going to talk about green hydrogen. This is the cleanest form. It is produced through electrolysis, where water is split into hydrogen and oxygen using electricity from renewable sources like wind or solar. This process generates no carbon dioxide emissions, making green hydrogen the most sustainable option. One has to also note that different countries or different players are looking at different colors of hydrogen or hydrogen production methods because of the resources that they have. So you find in most discussions, people do not talk about the colors. Some talk about clean hydrogen versus green hydrogen. So clean hydrogen is hydrogen produced with minimal or no carbon emissions. Green hydrogen, on the other hand, is produced using renewable energy sources with zero carbon emissions. It is considered the most sustainable and environmentally friendly form of hydrogen. However, there are still major challenges before green hydrogen becomes fully commercialized.
You mentioned the costs. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Cost is one big factor. Green hydrogen is currently more expensive than fossil fuels. Infrastructure is another issue. We need more pipelines, refueling stations, as well as storage solutions to make hydrogen widely accessible. Despite these challenges, governments and industries are investing heavily in hydrogen. The European Union, for example, has made hydrogen a central part of its Green Deal. If these efforts continue, we could see a major shift toward green hydrogen in the coming decades. So when we discuss the costs, we need to look across the green hydrogen value chain. And I have to put it out there that we don't have an existing green hydrogen value chain at the moment because it has not yet become commercialized. So that already is one of the challenges because we don't have proper market, we don't have proper demand. So these are some of the things that we're talking about. But going back to cost, when we talk about the cost, we are looking at the cost of the production of green hydrogen, which requires heavy investment. But on the other side as well, speaking to the general public in Germany, people are concerned about the cost because electricity by itself is also very expensive, and this is required when you produce green hydrogen. So people are concerned about who's going to meet this cost. Is it going to be passed down to the consumer? That is their question.
Does this problem only concern Germany?
The cost problem is not peculiar to Germany alone, it is peculiar globally. It affects all countries, and more so those countries which are not economically strong. They will feel more of the brunt of these costs.
What I always hear is that it's very important to change the climate, to reach the climate goal. So we have to do it fast so that the future is, I'm exaggerating, but saved. But how interested are the people, especially the people in Germany, for this climate change?
I would say that there is a general interest in taking climate action, but at the end of the day, people are asking the real questions like who will meet this cost? So you find that the public, when it comes to climate change, they are wondering with the high cost of living, are they expected to pay for this climate action? So people are forced to weigh between their day-to-day needs and the climate action. And I'd say, depending on resources, some people feel more inclined to meet their day-to-day activities rather than take action in climate action by paying towards it. And when it comes to industry as well, depending on where people stand, if they are in the fossil fuel industry, sometimes they are inclined to want to perpetuate fossil fuel use. However, everybody does agree that there is need to take climate action. So moving forward with green hydrogen will not just depend on people, but of course the people have an important role in green hydrogen acceptance and adoption. Without the people, or if the people do not take to the technologies, then very likely it will not take off. However, there are other factors that actually will affect green hydrogen adoption and use. Things like policy. We need supportive policy frameworks that will actually extend the work in green hydrogen.
Is there another way to achieve that goal?
Other factors that would play a significant role in green hydrogen adoption would be having efficient technology. So this calls for more research and development, also developing the infrastructure for green hydrogen. And more importantly, reducing the cost of green hydrogen production will go a long way in its acceptance and its adoption.
So how do you think can we reach these goals?
I think for us to achieve the goal of green hydrogen, collaboration will be very key. And that is collaboration between different stakeholders, local and global. And also having projects like Redefine help us to reach like the local communities to understand what they think of these green hydrogen technologies, and also to spread knowledge about green hydrogen technologies. And because we are talking about a value chain that does not exist, that will require international collaboration as well.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. We cover the basics of hydrogen, how it's produced, and why we categorize it into different colors. We also explored its role in the energy transition and the challenges we still need to overcome. Again, a big thanks to Dr. Lydia Maketo for sharing her insights. It was great to learn from your expertise. And I'm sure our listeners now have a much better understanding of hydrogen's potential. In our next episode, we'll dive into real-world applications of green hydrogen. Where is it already used, and how could it shape industries like transportation and energy productions? Stay tuned!